No, you have to go and connect with yourself. You have to go lay down. You have to take care of yourself. And it's like, ah, you know, and there's all sorts of thoughts that come up from that. And I get it, but you have to have those sacred spaces to do that.
Hi, brave friends. This is story episode number 175. When our child gets diagnosed, it can feel like the snow globe of our life gets shaken really hard and that everything is suddenly up in the air. But as the flakes slowly settle, we get the chance to reevaluate our relationships with everything, including ourselves. When Margaret Webb's son was diagnosed with autism, she became a warrior for him, fighting day in and day out for his comfort, development, and care. But as you might guess, in the heat of battle, she lost touch with herself until one day she saw a magazine cover that reminded her to reconnect. Welcome to today's story episode, Diagnosis Isn't a Choice, My Martyrdom Is.
My son was 3 years old when I walked into a store, and once again, a magazine caught my eye. This magazine issue was dedicated to reconnecting people with their true, essential selves. Those words resonated in ways I didn't understand at the time, but what I did know was that I needed that magazine more than anything else in my cart. I got home and devoured it like cheesecake, realizing the importance of reconnecting with myself in order to be the best parent I could be for my son. The journey back to my true, essential self began that very day. The word autism comes from the Greek word autos and means into oneself. I had disconnected from myself as a form of self-protection from all that I made autism mean. Ironically, going into, reconnecting with, and healing my essential self, the person I've always been but lost along the way, was the key to becoming the person I wanted and was meant to be. But more importantly, I could and would become the mother my son deserved. I was especially drawn to an article about reconnecting with joy. Despite having been a happy and fun person, I hadn't truly felt joy in years, as there was a part of me that wouldn't allow it. My thinking mind told me that this was selfish, but my gut told me this was exactly what I needed. It felt incredibly uncomfortable to not listen to those thoughts, but I knew deep down it was time to trust my gut. I'm glad I did, because I learned so many things to help me as a parent and a person. The first thing I learned to do was press pause and do nothing. It might seem to be an odd first step, but that stillness allowed me to hear the quiet voice of my essential self once again. As I paused and did nothing, feelings and thoughts began to surface. I learned that I had to allow myself to feel the emotions I had been repressing: anger, grief, sadness, jealousy, etc. Rather than push down those emotions I had been doing for years, I set aside time to feel them in a way that felt safe. Alone, writing letters to myself, to my son, to nobody in particular, that would be burned. I gave myself permission to express whatever came up without judgment. As I wrote, I sobbed for all of the times people looked at or said things about my child. My inner bitch expressed anger at not getting to choose this journey. I comforted that part of myself that needed a hug, because there were a lot of times when parenting felt really hard. I grieved for the parenting experiences I had expected and expressed remorse for all of the expectations that I had placed on my son. I wrote until I felt complete, and instead of feeling stuck, which I had feared, I felt relief, clarity, and acceptance. I felt hope and was able to view my child from a totally new perspective that was so much more kind and loving. I was able to look at my thoughts and question them, which was really empowering. What was I making autism mean? For myself? For my son? Was any of it true? No. My life wasn't over. Different? Yes. Over? Nope. My son was happy. I was not. The miserable person I had become was not the person I wanted to be. My response to having an autistic child was to create a life of martyrdom. I did this, not autism, and most definitely not my son. This awareness was humbling, yet empowering, because if I could create this, I could also undo it and create something different. I could choose my thoughts, my reactions, and what I allowed into my life. I could ask, is this supporting me or keeping me stuck? I began to add more of what felt good. People, experiences, surroundings, and subtracted what did not. Mainly people who judged and support services that didn't feel good. The power of choice expanded to all areas of my life. My son was, and still is, autistic, but I was no longer controlled by my thoughts or expectations about it. I no longer attributed his unique behaviors or developmental challenges to inadequate parenting skills, which made judgmental comments and looks from others far more tolerable. The more clear and intentional I became, the more my relationship with myself and my son blossomed. I gave myself permission, time, and space to care for myself, and I've learned that one has to care for themselves first in order to best care for others. Not quite what society teaches, and it was only when I did this that I was truly able to see the world from his perspective, and we were able to connect without my fears infiltrating our relationship. There was tremendous freedom in knowing I could help him, but that he didn't need to be fixed. Anger and frustration were replaced with deep breaths and practical strategies that work for us in our daily lives, like writing things down, using timers and daily schedules that he fills out so he knows what he is doing throughout the day. And this feels so much better. Autism led me on this journey to go into myself, to heal, care for, and notice what I need in order to be the best person and mother I can be. I crossed the threshold into this hero's journey in parenting, feeling like a victim, and emerged as a leader.
Margaret really is a leader, and her book, A Hero's Journey in Parenting, from which this story is an excerpt, is such an amazing resource. We're about to dive into so many good tools in the episode, so get ready to be inspired and enjoy my conversation with the Warrior Queen Mama, Margaret Webb. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to Brave Together podcast. I'm so excited to hear all about your new book.
Oh, I am so grateful to be here. Thank you so much and excited to share about my book.
So for anyone who hasn't heard of Margaret Webb, you must not be reading our newsletters because she has been contributing for a year or two in our newsletters, a fantastic parenting tip. Margaret is a parent coach. She's a master coach. She's amazing. She is a fellow Brave mom. And so she has so much to share, so much. She's a seasoned mom, expert mom, whatever you want to call, a mother of an adult child, and really has fantastic experience and wisdom. So we're grateful that she's been contributing to our monthly newsletter for We Are Brave Together. And today, this is her first time being on our podcast, although I know you've been on other podcasts, Margaret. And why don't you first just tell our listeners a little bit about you, about your family?
Yeah, so I have a 20-year-old son who is autistic, and he was nonverbal until about 6 or 7. And he had apraxia of speech, he has ADHD, anxiety. We kind of joked that he had everything that started with an A except for severe allergies or asthma. So he has been an amazing teacher for me. I was a teacher and I taught kindergarten, third grade. My husband is a neurosurgeon. And so we kind of went into parenting with a very cocky attitude, as though we had we knew everything. We were like all set for this. And our son really just showed us like, nope, this is going to be a different journey. And you're going to have to learn a lot of different things. And it has been a journey. And it's been absolutely like mind-blowing, challenging. But the things that I've learned are really powerful. And I hope that, you know, what I've learned, what we've learned via our son can help other parents who are starting out their journeys or on their journeys to know that they're not alone. And we live in Austin. I've got 3 Jack Russell Terriers. And so it's like, there's a lot of chaos that is going on nonstop.
I love dogs. Yeah. I couldn't live without dogs.
Our son's actually babysitting 2 of our dogs, or puppy sitting 2 of our dogs during this, because there are more barkers than the other one. So I was like, hey, can you puppy sit? And he's like, yeah.
Oh, I get that. I get that. I think one is actually outside the podcast store by accident. Yeah. So fingers crossed, nothing happens. So Margaret, I mean, we can all guess what inspired you to write this book, but what compelled you? What was like
the inciting incident, or what was like something that said, I have to get this down. I have to share this with other parents.
So it was me embarking on my own personal journey. You know, after his multiple diagnoses of all these different things, like many parents, I became a total warrior mom and was dead set on like fixing or curing or, you know, doing whatever it is that I could do to make this all go away. And realized after a lot of, you know, years of struggle with that, that that wasn't possible, that he didn't need to be fixed. He didn't need to be cured. Supported, yes. Like doing everything that we could to help him to learn and grow and to be the best that he can be, absolutely. But in that process, I learned that I needed to shift a lot of things. I went on a retreat with a coach, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, I started questioning my beliefs about what parenting was. And having been a teacher, I was only a teacher for 1 year while I had a child. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I would have been such a different teacher after having been a parent, especially to him, and approach things in so many different ways. But I realized that I was gathering all of these tools in not very conventional ways, like doing a coaching retreat, doing a nature-based coaching retreat, doing a retreat with horses, combining my experience as an educator. I was gathering all of these tools and realized I wasn't seeing this or hearing this in any other community, in any other way that was being applied to parenting. And I had been teaching a class, a teleclass called Parenting the Child You Didn't Expect While You Were Expecting. I taught that for years. And it really was resonating with parents of, wow, you know, yeah, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what other people are going through. Nobody else is talking about this, but you are. And getting to see how I was helping them via these classes was awesome. And then realizing I need to put this somehow in writing. So that's how that's what compelled me, was knowing this is important information to get out
there. So something that you said, and I know you reference this in the book, about the mentality of like fixing your kid, curing, healing. And I feel like I've heard that more within the autism community mindset. I think it's shifted. I think it's shifted a lot from years and years ago where that was like, do all these things to cure, fix, heal. What do you account for the shift in that thinking? Where is it coming from? Is it parent-driven? Is it, I don't know, culture-driven? Why do you think it was like that? And what do you think caused the shift? And is it shifting enough?
Because my son's 20, and so there was a lot of emphasis on the fixing and the curing back then. And I bought into it at first because it was like, yeah, like, oh, okay, you know, we'll do this diet, we'll take these supplements and whatever. My son was not into that at all. Like, he had a very restrictive diet and he was not into taking supplements. And I remember just having this window shade experience of, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? What is my intention? And my intention was for him to be happy, to learn, to grow. And I started really looking at the things that I was doing and seeing, were they working? They weren't. And what they were actually doing was causing me to doubt my abilities as a parent even more. Like, it just was more judgment heaped on everything. And I think that that's the shift that is hopefully taking place at a greater pace than it was back then, was seeing all of this energy and this effort spent fighting these different diagnoses isn't working. But what is working is learning who our children are. Like, who is my child? And what do they need? And how do they, you know, I always joke and say, like, I must have left my parenting manual at the hospital because I have no, you know, it's like, I've got no idea what I'm doing. And I realize he is the manual. My child is the manual for what he is needing. And I think each of us, if we can zoom out and realize that our kids are the manual. What is it that they need? How do we need to support them? What does that look like? And give ourselves permission to do that, regardless of what our neighbors are doing, regardless of what anybody else in their class is doing. It's so empowering. And it doesn't mean that you're like fighting every system. It's just, you know what, like, let's look at this from a place of curiosity. And I use archetypes in my book of, you know, we all have different archetypes in us. And I think the one that we mostly gravitate towards when there's a difference with our kids is the warrior, because it's tasked with like getting things done and focused energy. But there's all these other archetypes, and I focus on four, and the other three are the queen, the child, and the community builder. And your focus is on the community builder. Like, let's bring it, you know, let's like build community so that we don't feel so alone. And I also think that as parents, if we give ourselves permission to step into the queen or the monarch energy and really think about like, well, what is the big picture? What information do we have that is before us that we can base our decisions on? And then utilize the child to get curious, to be playful, not in a childish manner, but just like, let's brainstorm. Let's think about what this can look like. What are all of the different possibilities? And then bring the warrior in of like, how do we get that done? How do we utilize all this information in order to get it done, or to approach it, to play with it, to try it, to see what happens, do experiments, trial and error, as opposed to pass fail? That's what made the biggest difference for me. And I think it can make a huge difference for all parents.
Hi, friends. I just want to take a quick second to share big, big news. We have a matching donor. One of our supporters has pledged to give up to $15,000 in matching funds for all new donors or new sponsors for our annual 5K fundraiser. A sponsor can be an individual, a family, or a business. Check the link in the show notes if you want to be a sponsor or a donor for our annual 5K fundraiser. The 5K is not until October, but we are recruiting sponsors now.
How did you come to those archetypes? And then can you explain those a little bit more, each one that you talk about in your book?
Yeah. So I came to them through my nature-based coach training. And my mentor, Michael Trotta, you know, presented them, and they were associated with different directions. And they're north, like just the main directions, north, south, east, west. And so north is the queen, the king, the elder, the monarch. And that's like the big picture vision. You know, if you imagine a monarch, it's like they've got to oversee all these things. And so they're the gatherers. Everybody comes to them and gives them information, and then they make their decisions. They determine what's going to happen next. The opposite of that is the south, and that's where the warrior is. And so they work best when they're working together, because the north can give the south the mission. If the warrior doesn't have a mission, it will create its own. And I think that's what is really exhausting for us as parents, where it's like, if you don't really have clarity around what the big picture vision is for your child, for, you know, something that's causing you tension, the warrior is going to make up something. It's going to go fight something. And that's exhausting. The warrior has its place, but when it is not given a specific mission, it can go rogue, and it's just tiring. And so then the other two directions are the east is the child archetype, and that's all about play, curiosity, experimentation, childhood passions, like just the one thing that I really, when I started learning this, I'm like, I've lost that. I lost my queen. I lost my child. Like I had lost connection with that, and reconnecting with it of, you know, even just for myself of thinking like, well, what, you know, what lights me up? What brings me joy? And I think that is so important as a parent, because, and I say this in the book multiple times, I don't know any parent who doesn't have the intention for their child to be happy. We are the role models for what it means to be an adult. And so when our kids look at us, Like, don't we want them to see somebody who, we want them to see somebody who has joy or somebody who is happy. Not all the time. Like, yeah, like I'm not being unrealistic, but right, like, right. Is mom doing something, you know, throughout the day that, oh, mom, you know, she's singing into the wooden spoon again, or she's dancing in the kitchen, or she's like, you know, watching her show. And right. I want my child to see that so that he knows, yeah, like adults can be happy. They can have joy in their lives. And tapping into that then also helped me to be more curious about how I can approach challenges with him. Of like, oh, this might be challenging. Instead of thinking of it as a dead end, it's like, okay, I tried that. That didn't work. Now, how do I, going back to my teacher, I always imagine having like a whiteboard in front of me of thinking like, okay, what are all the different things that I can try and play with to see if that makes a difference? And that was mind-blowing and so awesome. And then the West, the opposite of that, is the community builder or the teacher. And that's where it's like, we are the holders of information, the, you know, and I think a lot of times, this is why I'm so excited about your community, is that so often as parents, we can isolate ourselves thinking that we're the only ones who are going through this and that we're the only ones who understand. Nobody else will get this. People will judge. And so we can isolate ourselves or we can overshare in order to combat judgment of like, okay, I'm just going to verbally vomit everything so that you don't hurt me with your judgment. And I think being able to look at each of these archetypes and see like, I say that it's almost like one of those dials on a stereo system. The old stereo system. I mean, yeah, the old stereo system. Like nowadays, it's like you could probably do it on your iPad and like, you know, adjust the different levels. But even so, it's adjusting the levels of, is there too much queen or monarch? Like, am I being too controlling? Am I not being, you know, am I too little? And doing that in each of the archetypes of just playing around with like, where am I in any given moment? And it's fun to play with, not with our kids, but just even if you're starting this, just playing with it in any given moment. Where am I in each of these archetypes? And am I too much, too little, or am I in the just right zone? And it's so fun to play with.
I feel like this is going to breathe life into parents' experience because I think, as you know, parents get so stuck in warrior, and that is not going to really bring joy and playfulness. And we need to be able to access joy and playfulness if we're going to do this for the long haul. So I really appreciate all these definitions, all these parts of us. I guess we probably have all of those parts in all of us, and some are stronger than others. And this is a really great way to kind of go inward and analyze and think about ourselves. And while we're on that note, I so appreciate that this book is focused on the parent. I mean, I am someone who's obviously focused on parents. I'm focused on caregiving moms because I audaciously say that if you're the primary caregiver, you're the most important person in the family. So we have to take care of ourselves. And yet we tend to put ourselves last. So I appreciate that your focus here is about parental happiness and joy and peace and confidence. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. What do you wish you could tell parents at the beginning of their journey with what you have learned, Margaret?
You know, I wish that they would be kind and loving with themselves, that they would be compassionate with themselves. Because there's so much that comes at you when there's a diagnosis or when there's a difference, when there's anything that is unexpected that is thrown your way as a parent, it's like you know, shut down and there's so much intensity and a feeling of needing to fix or a feeling of need for action. And I think letting them know they're not alone and that there are people out there who get it, that I hope that they find your community. So if you are somebody who's listening to this and, you know, meet somebody, please, you know, like let them know that there are communities like We Are Brave Together who have parents who get it, because what they need is they need kindness. They need compassion. They need empathy. They need somebody who's going to say, you got this. You got this. It might feel so overwhelming right now, but once the, you know, the snow globe, it's like there's a snow globe shaking when there's any sort of diagnosis. And it's like, once the snow globe settles, you can see with greater clarity. And so the faster that you can do that, the easier it will be to see who your child really is and get clarity around the kind of parent that you want to be to support who they are needing to be their parent.
How would you teach somebody to really tune in to what their child needs and what they want and need as a parent? Because there's a lot of noise and chatter around us, you know, that it gets in the way. So how would you teach a fellow mom how to really slow down and tune in?
Yeah. So there's a process that I have where it's like, it's called the TIANT process, and it stands for tension, intention, attention, no or less tension. And if I could go back and tell my past self anything at that point, it would be that of like recognizing this is something that's causing me tension. And instead of just like activating my warrior, I would pause and really check in about what is my intention. And that was like, that process alone is really challenging, because it's like, once you're in it, it's like, I don't even know what I want, or I can't even, you know, there's so much noise. Like you said, there's so much noise, but it is really important to check in with what our intention is. What are we wanting and why are we wanting it? Because without those two things, we're just making decisions haphazardly. And that doesn't mean that we don't take into consideration important, like information that's coming, but from experts, specialists, doctors, all of those things. But I think realizing we are the team leaders for our child, that we have permission to take all of that information in and to discern, does this feel good? Does this feel right? Is this going to work for our family? I know sometimes with medical stuff, it doesn't matter if it'll work for your family. You got to figure it out. But even that, like taking that in and being like, okay, that's a non-negotiable. So that's going to be there. But there's other things that aren't. And if it doesn't feel right, it's okay to say that doesn't, you know, that's not a good fit for our family right now, or that's not a good fit for my child right now. That doesn't mean that it won't be in the future, but taking that time to check in on the intention is huge. And then from there, the A is the attention of like, okay, well, then what does that look like? And that's where you bring in the child archetype and the brainstorming and the warrior. Like they can work together in the community builder. It's like, okay, then they can all have a team meeting and see like, okay, well, what could this look like? And what does this look like? And then the last part is the no or less tension. And that's releasing the need for things to go a specific way, which is, yeah, exactly. Your facial expression said it all. It was like, oh no, that's like the, you know, that's the hardest part, is releasing the need for things to go a specific way. But I think we can all think back on times where we've tried to make things go a specific way and it hasn't worked. And so getting comfortable with like, okay, and that's where play comes in of like, well, that didn't work. Okay, good to know. What can I try the next time? And then you kind of cycle back through that process and then shift the things in the A, you know, in the attention section of like, okay, my intention might be the same, but what in the attention can I play around with to see if I get a different result? And I think that's where a lot of times we feel like, well, that didn't work. Okay, scrap everything. We're done. But it's like, wait, no, chances are there were bits and pieces that did work, or that were, it was feeling great. And then maybe it went off track. But to zoom in and think about what about it caused it to go off track, and to be able to play around with that and see like, okay, well, we can try something different the next time.
Margaret, if you were to lead one of our weekend retreats for We Are Brave, which I would love that, given everything you know, 20 years experience as living in altered parenthood, as I call it, what would you most like to bring to an intimate group of women? Like what, when I ask that question, what comes up for you first? Like, I would love to impart or teach, fill in the blank.
I've done this locally. And when I was doing it, it was for people to be able to connect with one another. But also my passion is to let people know they're not alone and that there are tools. And a lot of them come through connecting with yourself first. Like we have to, you know, like I always envision things and I've shared multiple images, but like envision it as a target, parenting as a target. Most people would probably put their kid in the middle. We have to be in the middle. And our child can be on the first ring, or our children can be on the first ring. Our partner can be on the second ring. You know, it's like, and then it can go from there, but we have to take care of ourselves and to be able to give them time and space to hear themselves again. I think that's what my passion is, to have that time and space to hear themselves again, and to even to not have the noise of the expectations or the demands or all of the other things. That is powerful. And it's so important to be able to discern that. But there has to be time. There has to be space. And it has to be a safe space where there's, it's like, no, you have to go and connect with yourself. You have to go lay down. You have to take care of yourself. And it's like, ah, you know, and there's all sorts of thoughts that come up from that, which is awesome. You know, that's juicy goodness for me to support them with. And I get it, but to have those sacred spaces to do that. So
I love that. We're all about sacred spaces. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Margaret, there's so much more in your book. Oh my gosh. This is like, it's chock full. It's so beautifully thick. It is so full. It is so amazing. It is such a resource. I'm so excited to share it with the world. And I hope it's just a beautiful process for you as you meet people, as you're sharing about your book. And I just hope for some beautiful connections and peace. And I pray that your book brings insight and relief and healing to parents who you're giving permission to take care of themselves and to go inward. So thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening today. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization called We Are Brave Together? We Are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms by offering support groups that are virtual and in person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood await you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only and is not a substitute and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcast linked in our show notes or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.